We exist to teach, tutor, advise, grade, and evaluate. The good news is we don't ruin your GPA. CJUM 101.5 FM in Winnipeg. Education of a different kind.
Hey everyone, it's me, the Album Authority, and I hate to break it to you guys, but these are not live episodes of Album Authorities. This is previously aired episodes. Like all great movements, I need my time to go back, to refresh, to regroup so that we can build this movement stronger. They asked me which episodes do I want. I said I didn't care because all I make is classics, all I make is hits. So enjoy these previous episodes of Album Authority, and I will come back to you guys in September with more fresh, revolutionary, world-changing radio. Hello and welcome to Album Authority. I am your host, the Album Authority, the one and only Album Authority. I know every album. And if I don't know one album, maybe one specific album that you know that you're going to try to quiz me on, you're going to walk up to me on the street, you're going to get me with a surprise out of nowhere question, I don't need to know that album. So today, I have chosen absolutely the best Brian Eno solo album there is, full stop. And that is 1977's Before and After Science. I think his ninth solo record, if you count like collaborative records, but not records that he had produced, collaborative, okay? I think by then he was going by Eno, but not Brian. Anyways, it's a whole thing. First of all, I just want to say, because I've already said ninth, when I say this is Brian Eno's ninth solo record, this doesn't mean it's late in his career. In fact, it's early in his career, because I'm convinced Brian Eno is more music than man, because this man has an insane output. Like, he has 29 solo studio albums, 66 if you include collaborations, and that doesn't even count time in Roxy Music and stuff he's produced. Like, he's been everywhere, and I've said it before on the show. I've said before, I think it was on one of the first episodes of Album Authority, that everywhere you look, you'll just find Brian Eno in some place when you least expect it. But it's true, he's really inescapable. I feel like most people might know him from, like, Talking Heads, and more specifically, Remain in Light, and even more specifically, if you're not a Talking Heads fan, you just know, why am I blanking on the name? Oh, Once in a Lifetime. But essentially, Brian Eno is one of the most, like, well-known, influential, and greatest rock and pop producers of all time, and he essentially put the name to and really popularized ambient music as an art form. So, Wikipedia tells me he's produced 116 albums, and he's 76. So that's almost two albums every year. So, sorting through all these albums on, like, Wikipedia and charts has just really made me feel like I was doing work at home. Because right now I do data entry work here at the university, so I'm just never free of numbers and spreadsheets. So I tried to make a little Brian Eno spreadsheet, but then I got bored maybe 5 minutes in because I wasn't being paid to do it. So I just immediately gave up. 116 is like a rough number, because I'm sure if you include everything he's ever worked on, because I don't even think that includes Roxy Music. I don't know. But some artists, like, it's insane because some artists only make a few good records in their whole life, and, like, some in their prime are a few good ones, and maybe they'll go about making, like, a couple or just a bunch of bad ones. Like, I know it's a cliche at this point, Album Authority cliche, but Morrissey has, like, two or three good solo records, and the Smiths records are all great, but then, like, he has this huge back catalog of crap. But Brian Eno has remained, like, consistently good, and he is old. I'm going to say it, hard take on this show, hot take, but 76 is old, and he's still pumping out records nonstop. It's ridiculous. But Before and After Science is definitively proven by album authority. It's official. It's my stamp. The best Brian Eno solo record. So I'm not a big fan. I've never listened to every Brian Eno solo record because, like I said, I think there's 66 if you count collaborations. And not only do I have a life, I also have a job. And my job is not album authority. This is a side thing, okay? If they paid me to listen to Brian Eno, I would have listened to all the Brian Eno records by now. But I'm not paid, okay? This is a passion project, work of love. But Before and After Science, released, I think, a couple years after his first solo record, Here Comes the Warm Jets. Maybe, no, it's not Here Comes the Warm Jets. What is the first Brian Eno solo record? Let me figure this out. It's something Warm Jets. It was literally told to me today. We were talking about it. Anyways, I'll find it. Here it is. Here Comes the Warm Jets. Okay. Wow, I am the album authority after all. I never doubted myself. Not even for a second, but of course. This is kind of his last. I think he's made a couple since, but one of his, like, rock era since leaving or not being a part of Roxy Music. After this, he focuses his rock work, becomes more so producing for Talking Heads and other rock artists, but this is kind of his last solo rock record, at least for a long time. Because after this, it's all of his ambient work. I think specifically, I don't remember the year, but maybe just a year or two after, but Music for Airports, his Ambient One, Music for Airports, his first ambient record, comes out right after this record, if I remember correctly. Yeah, a year after. So, and I didn't... This is my hot take for the show here. I do not like Ambient One Music for Airports. I listened to Ambient 1 to 4. And I liked all of them, except Ambient 1. Because, I mean, I'll give it that. I'll give that it sounds like an airport. In the way that, I mean, airports are the worst and one of the most boring places on Earth. That make me want to just rip my hair out. Like, I hate car rides. I don't like being on a plane. And the reason I don't like them is because I feel like I'm trapped and there's like nothing to do. And you can do stuff but it's like you're trapped in there. And I don't even have claustrophobia. But it's that I'm like in between places. I'm in between doing stuff. And the airport is the worst because you're in between doing stuff, but you're not even at, like, the stage where you're moving to the place. You're just sitting there waiting to be able to move. It's like the line to a carnival ride. You know when you're a kid and you're in the carnival ride and it feels like ages? Yeah, that I never grew out. I never grew out of that. Everything just feels like ages to me. Waiting in the doctor's office feels ancient. I feel like I've been there my whole life. I have about 0 ounces of patience, as I keep getting reminded. So airports are the worst, and they're boring, and they want me to put me to sleep, but I can't sleep because you're sitting in these super uncomfortable chairs, and you're probably, if you're like me last year, really hungry in the Toronto airport, lost, and it's too big. I hate it. This is my hot take. This is maybe most people I know love airports. Even today, a small survey, like three of the four people I talked to, huge airport fans. I don't get it. It's the worst. It's like saying you like being in a car. Who likes road trips? The worst part. I want to be there. I don't want to drive there. Anyways, that's my Ambient One Music for Airports rant. Or as I wrote on Rate Your Music, I think I just wrote, I'm bored. Put me to sleep. ZZZ. So, I am never going to listen to every Brian Eno work. Like, don't even think for a second. But I think I can make you guys all listen to this one at least. So I'll start with the first track off the album, No One Receiving, Going Into Backwater, and then I'll be back very shortly. Thank you all very much.
With my rudder on its pedal wheels, it will cut the night.
That was No One Receiving and Backwater off of Brian Eno's 1977 record, Before and After Science. So I think those are pretty good examples of kind of the varying parts. I mean, every song I'm going to play is kind of different parts of Brian Eno's, like, musical areas by 1977. Again, I don't know where it goes off because I am not listening to every Brian Eno record. There's no way I'm doing that. I kept looking during the break at how many there are. It's insane. I'm never not going to be blown away by this guy's output. Like, he just never stops. But I think these are really good examples because, like, the first song is a pretty simple, straightforward pop song, but it's pretty experimental with its sound, and it almost feels like something you would have made with Talking Heads, just, like, a bit more pop-oriented. Backwater is, like, a pure pop song. It's, like, distilled pop. But it's Brian Eno's kind of particular form of pop, which I'm going to call weird pop. The signature Brian Eno vibe. Mm-hmm. That is an official album authority term. You heard that? That was me slamming the gavel, declaring that weird pop is now an official genre term, seemingly exclusively to Brian Eno. So, but that's kind of the, like, Backwater is not, I feel like it's a song that really anybody can like, but that doesn't mean it's just trying to appeal to the broadest population, and I feel like it's still very musically interesting is what I'm trying to say, and experimental. It also has Krautrock Band Can's drummer, and this is a German name, so I'm going to try, Jack Leibesit on it. So this is kind of right when Brian Eno makes his turn to ambient music and stopped kind of after this. And I think it's my favorite Brian Eno record. It's the best Brian Eno record. And I think it's the peak of his rock era. And, I mean, if you compare it to what I would call, like, its sister album, which is Another Green World, it feels like he took a lot of the ambient influences that, like, Another Green World is a lot more of an ambient record and then Before and After Science. So I think he took a lot of these, and you see it on the back half of this record especially. Like, so far those first two songs don't really show the ambient influences, but the back half of this record and lots of Another Green World are rather instrumental and ambient. And I think he kind of, after Another Green World, I think he was on record as saying, or at least is on record now, that he was kind of worried making it, that he was going to retread ground, because he was worried that it would kind of sound like his other rock records, so that would be, I think, Taking Tiger Mountain is what it's called. Is that what it's called? Somebody in the audience, my, like, two listeners, is probably, like, screaming at me right now, and I have an idea who. Yeah, Taking Tiger Mountain by Strategy. Okay. And Here Comes the Warm Jets and Another Green World. Those are the three, like, rock records before this. And again, he was worried he was going to retread ground, but I think here he really combines what he accomplished on Another Green World, which is this, like, really almost ambient synthy pop, and then combining it with more of a root, more simple rock sound, especially on these next two songs here, but while still remaining experimental. And, like, the feeling on that record is so good. And again, I really feel like these are twin records. And Brian Eno said pretty similar, actually. He said that to him, Another Green World is sky music, is what he said, and this one is ocean music. Is what he said. I think those are really accurate. If you listen to both records, they really sound like Another Green World is very open and pleasant. Like, the cover really feels like how the album sounds. Here, the cover, I think, is literally just Brian Eno's outline. Cool cover, but I don't think it feels like how the record feels, like Another Green World's does. But this album really does feel like ocean music, I guess. I mean, a lot of the songs that feel the most like that do specifically reference, like, bodies of water. And, like, By This River, it's in the name. Not ocean, but water. So, close enough. I'll give myself a seal of approval there. But this album feels, like, really big and open, but at the same time still kind of warm and calming, especially later on in the record with some of my favorite songs. Julie With is my favorite song on the record. It's not the least listened to. The least listened to is Kurt's Rejoinder, which I'm not going to play. By This River is the most... I'm sorry, I just did not know By This River was Brian Eno's huge song of this album. Wow, okay, I didn't know that. I've never been the biggest fan of the ambient stuff. I think it's because my attention span has been, like, completely destroyed and no longer exists, but some of them are pretty good. Again, just not music for airports. Aptly named, I'll give it that. Anyways, I want to show kind of two other sides of Brian Eno with these next two songs, and that's more of a fast-paced, energetic side, and then what I'm going to call more of like a chill, rock, fundamental song with Here He Comes after King's Lead Hat. So there you go. Yep, in with those songs. Two great songs. Probably some of the best on this record. At least top 10. There's 10 tracks.
Vanished to the future, a bust is no longer here with his sad checking out each other's supplies and looking at the eyes of all the others standing in the line. Here he comes, the night is like a glove and he's floating like a dove with his deep blue eyes in the deep blue sky. Here he comes, the boy who tried to vanish to the future of past is no longer alone among the dragonflies. Here he comes. Here he comes.
That was King's Lead Hat and Here He Comes off of Before and After Science, Brian Eno's 1977 record. So I love both those songs, and they might be two of the best songs, I guess, objectively by some measure, but they're at the very least two of my favorites. I'm going to say that with the next one too as well. But King's Lead Hat is so good. Like I think the first time I listened to that, I easily listened to it like 10 times on repeat. Because it just has such a good upbeat energy that's just keeps throughout the whole song. But it's weird, and it's like the only song that sounds like it. It's so good. It's also an anagram for Talking Heads, which I had to Google what an anagram was last night because I just thought of Bananagrams, the Scrabble game or whatever. But it feels the song being an anagram for Talking Heads, I'm gonna be honest, feels a little creepy because like Brian, you know, was not in the band. I don't even know if he was working with them by 1977. I think by the point of this record, he hadn't yet started working with them. So, you know, you really get the sense from this and just stories on Remain in Light and the fact that for Remain in Light, he wanted it credited Talking Heads. It wanted to be Remain in Light by Talking Heads and Brian Eno. So he had to get talked down from that. And I think he had to get talked down from that. I remember something hearing, and I think it was the Bandsplain podcast. Yossi Salek told a story about how Brian Eno had to get talked out of it because somebody said if he has his name on it, his fans are going to want him to go on tour. And he was really not a fan of that, which I can see clearly because, I mean, if you just look at his musical output, if this man was going on tour at the same time as making like two albums every year, there was no way he would have time for any of that. But it's such a good song, and Brian Eno's influence in Talking Heads is huge, and it's like some of the best, not my favorite Talking Heads albums, but some of the best Talking Heads albums are with Brian Eno. And Here He Comes, the second song I played, is one of like the most relaxing and most peaceful songs ever. It just makes me feel so chill and like at peace with the world. I feel like I have no anxiety and I have no issues when I listen to that song. It's also the first Brian Eno song of it I'd ever heard as well. I guess the Windows 95 startup counts as probably the first Brian Eno song I'd ever heard, but I'm not counting that. And isn't there one of those Talking Heads songs that was, it came as an auto download on the PCs back in the PCs on a PC back in the day? Some, not Talking Heads, David Byrne song, weird one. I can't remember it anymore. I'm sure I'll get corrected very soon. Somebody's going to send it to me. And I have an idea who. So I have to shout out James here. So shout out to James for recommending me. Here He Comes, and Brian Eno in general. Because at this show, at this point, this show is just basically like albums my friend James and Haley have just, and my girlfriend Haley have just been recommending to me for like, all of them are just albums I had heard about. I don't know, there's like maybe two or three that I was the one who had listened to them without input from those two people. And very rarely is that possible. This is also the first record from the 70s that that Album Authority has done. I was looking here, and I think a third of every album I've done is from the 90s, and probably the other third, probably the 80s, and then maybe the other third is like the 2020s, maybe 2010s. So this is the first 70s album we've done here on the show. And I'm going to say the 70s might be an overrated music decade. I can think of the best 70s albums, and they're like all near the end of the 70s and what I basically just associate with the 80s. First thought was Unknown Pleasures. That's an 80s album in my heart. I don't want to listen to Led Zeppelin, okay? I'm not like 55. I don't want to listen to that. What else is there in the 70s? All probably Segregation in the 70s. That's not good. See? Bad music decade. That's my official statement. I'm trying to think of other music. I don't think Segregation was a thing in the 70s. I think it ended in the 60s. Anyways, going back to Before and After Science with Julie With and then By This River. That was Julie with and By This River. by Brian Eno, once again off of today's Album Authority album, Before and After Science, released in 1977. I don't know what that was, like my Morrissey voice or something. So I really feel like those are the songs that feel the most like what Brian Eno said, called ocean music. I mean, By This River has ocean in the title. Julie With has, I believe, ocean in the lyrics. Let me quickly look at the lyrics here. You guys have to suffer through this with me. Yeah, I am on the open sea, an open sea. So, and says sea again. So maybe I'm not a geniusly intuitive for feeling that. Also, I had to read it first for it to click. So there's no new ideas here on this show. We don't do new ideas. We just recycle old ideas. In fact, we usually get them wrong. Like segregation did not end in the 70s. That was 1965, apparently. So I can't fault the 70s for that. I can still fault it for like pretty boring music and like dad rock that I don't want to listen to. Though I guess nowadays like dad rock is like grunge. So that's what's going to be the dad rock of my, if I ever have kids, generation. Like, are they going to say like Kendrick? Oh, it's not rock. Is like Kendrick going to be dad rap? These are the questions here on this show. But anyways, I think these songs feel the most like an ocean or a water feeling. Like Julie With specifically, pretty underrated song. It's like super slow and quiet, but it gives me a really specific feeling. It feels like how I remember being a kid when we would go to family gatherings. Like there'd be like some huge family Christmas full of people I don't remember at all, people I'd like met like once and had zero memory of, even though it'd probably been like 10% of my life that I'd seen them, because like you'd live no life. So, but I didn't know these people. You'd like randomly go camping and you'd be around the fire with these random family friends for a while, and like then you would have to go, but it'd feel late and it'd be like 9 p.m. but it would feel super late, like 12 or something. And then you would just, because you would have to leave when everybody started getting drunk, because you're like 8 years old and they can't have that. So you have to go back in the camper and you'd just be laying there and it'd be like raining. Maybe there'd be some shelter so people could stay at the fire. And you would just hear the sound of like distant voices, crackling fire, rain hitting the camper, like a really quiet feeling, but kind of loud at the same time. That's how Julie With and By This River really feel, like really peaceful, but like kind of an ambient background noise going on behind. That's really nice, but not an ambient song, which is interesting, because most ambient music kind of just makes me bored. Again, TikTok attention span, so that's why, but not my thing. But yeah, that's that specific feeling that I get that I don't really get anymore. Even when camping in the rain now, I don't ever feel like I did as a kid when you'd be in the camper and just hearing the rain hitting the roof. I still don't get that now, even when I'm inside. Rain at night doesn't feel that way. So like the closest feeling that I can get to it is that Julie With song and By This River. Those are the closest songs that give me the feeling of being young during the rain, and specifically camping in the rain, but not in a tent. Though in a tent there is still such a vibe to it, unless you start getting soaked like we did when me and my family went camping in Rushing River in Ontario. Maybe it was Blue Lake. It was probably Blue Lake where we just got super soaked. I was going to go camping the other week, but didn't turn out. But I was very worried that it was going to rain the whole time. And camping in the rain is kind of miserable. I'm going camping this week, and now I just realized I have to check the forecast. I'm going to look it up. I'm going camping in the White Shell, aka the best place to camp in all of Manitoba. White Shell weather. We're Googling it right now. You guys are with me on air. We're good. Okay, it's going to be a little wet, but it's not raining when I'm gone. So I know you guys were all really worried. Anyways, that was today's episode of Album Authority. I think this is, to wrap it up, Before and After Science, the definitively best Brian Eno record, the man who is everywhere and you can never escape him. He's just, everywhere you look, you find Brian Eno. But it's worth it because he really makes you feel kind of feelings that songs and emotions that connect to, I don't know, that like there's a really peaceful, almost childhood feeling and childlike feeling to a lot of his music that really feels great. I don't know what it is. I'm just now picking up on this, so this is a live revelation. Anyways, thank you for tuning in to this week's Album Authority. I'm going to end the week with not an ambient artist, but a like electronic instrumental artist, Canada's own Mort Garson off of 2019, but I can't remember when this album came out. Like, I think it's also the 70s, if you give me a second here. But it's Mother Earth's Plantasia. I've played it a couple times before. It's this great, great song. Great album, sorry. 1976 is when it came out. It's music for warm earth music for plants and the people who love them. Great album. Great Canadian little electronic album. It's great. And have a great week. Thank you very much. Thank you.
In need of a boost? IQ's Cafe and Billiards has you covered with your favorite Starbucks drink and food from some of Winnipeg's favorite spots, including O Donuts. We've got everything you need to fuel your next cram session. Ready for a much-needed study break? IQ's has your back. We've got top-of-the-line diamond pool tables, board games, foosball, ping pong, and more. Open from 8 a.m. to 11 p.m. Monday through Thursday, Friday and Saturday until 2 a.m., and Sundays until 10 p.m. Come chill at IQ's Cafe and Billiards today.
Some performers take the stage. Hawksley Workman owns it. On Saturday, October 24th, the Winnipeg Folk Festival presents the Hawksley Workman Duo at the Park Theatre. Over the past 25 years, Hawksley has been one of this country's most original musical voices, earning a reputation for unforgettable live performances, fearless songwriting, and a catalog that spans everything from tender ballads to electrifying rock and roll. Here all year, enjoy amazing music year-round and grab your tickets now through Ticketmaster.ca. Don't miss the Hawksley Workman Duo on Saturday, October 24th at the Park Theatre. Brought to you by the Winnipeg Folk Festival and proudly supported by UMFM 101.5.
You're listening to CJUM FM on 101.5 here in Winnipeg.